You know, Barb, we're seeing amazing response to this teaching. And in fact, a great-grandmother called me from Western Kansas saying how shredded her daughter and son had been because they'd been in ministry and they had a divorce. And they were tossed out of the church. And she said, my grandchildren were abused. She said, you guys are right on. Mm. So today we're moving into the Bible as the final authority. And that church she was speaking of didn't use the Bible as the final authority. They used, traditions of men.
Well, the last hour, we were studying about God's love,
right,
and how God is love, and He really, truly requires love in the marriage more than anything else, Darren, and agreement.
And how about love in the church? That'd be a good idea.
Well, yeah, but if we begin to really love each other in our marriages the way God ordained us to love one another, and look for a mate who is in agreement with us, on the same page with us, it will go well in the churches if we find the right mates. And I believe part of this teaching series has been to be aware of who you're looking for. First of all, you're looking for a person in the spirit. You want someone who's spiritually on the right track, who's spiritually with you in what you believe. And you were even saying some Christians shouldn't even marry because one believes in tongues, another doesn't believe in tongues. One spends a lot of money, the other doesn't spend a lot of money, or tithes, and the other one doesn't believe in tithing. Well, Darren, those are crucial points in a marriage.
Well, I believe that the agreement there is obviously if they're going to get along and they have views that are in conflict. You know, somebody's going to have to give in there.
Uh-huh.
And or they're going to spend their life in this marriage trying to get the other one to change because they're absolutely sure that they're right. Uh-huh. And both of them are going to take the scriptures and try to say, I'm right, look at this.
That's right.
And they're coming from whole different perspectives, one from the North Pole, one from the South Pole. There's got to be agreement in marriage. And you know the devil loves a disagreement.
That's right.
You can't see healing in a home. You can't see financial breakthroughs. You're not going to see advancements in your work if you're in disagreement, because it just kills your prayer life.
That's right. So in this next hour, we just thank you, Father God, that you are here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going out to every listening ear, and you're opening that spiritual ear. You're opening that spiritual eye so that they can see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Thank you for our precious friends at Darren in Denver. And we praise you, Father God, that you are going to bring new revelation and new freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. I love our series. We have album series that are called Freedom Series. Freedom. And I love that because this is what we're doing, Darren. We're trying in this ministry of Darren in Denver to bring freedom. And we pray that this is bringing freedom to your hearts today.
Well, I think you can't be under condemnation and guilt and inferiority and be free.
That's right.
And so we teach all around the whole year about the things that will keep you from getting into a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've stopped and God says, I want you to teach on divorce, remarriage. And I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And people need to see that from a biblical
perspective. Well, a divorce and remarriage sometimes isn't the most wonderful thing, but God did allow it. And this is what we're going to go into right now this morning. We know that the Bible is the final authority. And in the Old Testament, we're going to go into the Old Testament today. So if you have your Bible, it would be great to turn to the Old Testament, especially Deuteronomy. We're going to start in Deuteronomy. But you've got to remember that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So we've got to go to our Hebrew lexicons. And if you have a Hebrew Greek study Bible, you're really way ahead of everybody else because it has the original Hebrew and Greek in the back. But we find out here that the law was written in the desert when God had just delivered Israel from a land that Egypt was void of God. There was no sense of God in Egypt. In fact, they worshiped millions of gods, probably thousands, millions of gods.
We could say there's no sense of holy God.
Yeah,
they
worshiped
God.
Mice, they worshiped lice, they worshiped
Nile. Blood.
Yeah, they just worshiped.
They worshiped flies?
Yes. So in the book of Deuteronomy, we find here that God gives laws on how to live together in a moral and godly manner. And actually, literally, the book of Deuteronomy, Darren, means a repetition of the law. And so here in
Moses
Deuteronomy,
Moses is recalling those things.
That's right.
And I like Deuteronomy 32:47, where Moses says, these are not idle words to you, for this is your life.
That's right.
This is your life. Yes. So listen up.
Yes, and Jesus did fulfill the law, but the laws are good rules to go by.
Right. They're guidelines.
Guidelines, yes. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 22, and we're going to see some examples of how a husband could treat a wife in the Old Testament. And you're going to be aghast at what went on in some of these places. But in Deuteronomy 22:13 through 19, if any man takes a wife and goes into her and then turns against her or hates her, now this is for any reason at all, and charges her with shameful deeds and publicly defames her and says, I took this woman, but when near her, I did not find her a virgin. Then the girl's mom and dad get in the picture, Darren. The girl's father and mother shall bring out the evidence of the girl's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate.
Well, it was a real slap at the family. It wasn't just at the girl. It was a slap at the parents, and they were saying, you raised an immoral girl, her.
That's right.
And she wasn't what you purported her to be. You said she was a virgin, and I find she's not.
So, and that's why on the wedding night, they put a cloth underneath the married couple, and that first sexual union, when her hymus breaks, there's usually blood evidence. They would give that to the mother and father so that they could keep it as evidence that their daughter was a virgin. So this mother and father can take that evidence out to the elders of the city, and you can say, oh, gross. But really, that's about the only... Sometimes I wish they had that kind of evidence today.
Well, but you know, women were property.
Yes,
women
they were.
Property.
They
and,
were.
And I'll tell you, in the Jewish mindset of the day, and now I'm talking about the men now, they weren't worth much. Mm-hmm. And they were almost like a chattel, a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
And God is entering the scene here, and he's going to elevate women and womanhood in the eyes of humanity. Really.
Yes, he's giving them equality. Thank you, Lord. And the girl's father shall say, our daughter was a virgin, and behold, he has charged her with shameful deeds. Well, then the elders of the city see the evidence, and they chastise the man. Well, enter the law of divorce. And divorce is not from Satan, Darren. It is a law from God. And we'll find it in Deuteronomy 24:1. And when a man hath taken a wife and she finds no favor. Now, favor is a word that is 2580 in the Strong's. It's pronounced Cain. It's C-H-E-N, but it's pronounced Cain. And it's an outer or external beauty. So he finds no favor or beauty in her external appearance. That's what it really literally means. And because he hath found some indecency in her, and indecency means a blemish in her nudity. So he's found something wrong with her physically. And like you said in class one night, he says, yeah, she has a couple children and her, you know, she starts
beginning to sag a little bit.
He says, you know, I liked this body when I first met it, but this body is getting old.
Well, you know, you found, you'd call it a blemish in my nudity other day. You said, what's going on here? You're kind of lopping over your belt there. So you could say there's a blemish in my nudity. Is that right?
You're dropping in your drawers.
You didn't want me to bring that up, did you?
I didn't want you to bring it up. Okay. But,
but you're not going to get rid of me just for that, are you?
No, I'm not.
But in the Old Testament, those are the types of things.
Yes.
Kind of a silly reason, we would say, you know, you don't find favor in my eyes anymore. Out of here.
Yes. And that's why God allowed a bill of divorcement here. And it's number 3748. And it says in Deuteronomy 24:1, then let the husband write her a bill of divorcement. This is a law from God. This is not from Satan. It is not a sin. And I love what Dr. Zodiati says about law of divorce or a certificate of divorce, Darren. He says it's a certificate of innocence. It gives that woman clear name. It makes her innocent in walking out from that home to go get remarried again to a man who really loves her.
Well, you know, they were really cheapening the marriage relationship there.
Yes.
The men were using any excuse, this being one of them, say, well, you know, you have a wart that you didn't have when I first married you, or, you know, whatever, a blemish in her nudity. And in the back of his mind, he's saying, you know, I've seen a little girl down the road. I'd rather have her than you. And I don't want to put up with the both of you, so you're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And God was saying, enough of that.
That's right. He really was. He was sick of seeing his creation made in his image. Now, remember, in our first hour of teaching, we realized that his image is his spirit, his likeness is his structure, his audible and his bone structure. And we find that in Jesus, that he was sick and tired of his creation being used as chattel and property. So
I agree. I think you're teaching right on here, so keep it up.
Praise the Lord. So then he sends her out of the house with a certificate of divorce. Now, this certificate of divorce, now you need to remember this number. It's 3748. And that's a number you will always remember in the Old Testament Hebrew, 3748. It's Kerethuth, and it's the cutting of the marital bond, that certificate of divorce.
That's also called a bill of innocence.
Yes, it is the husband giving a wife a bill of innocence.
If it's properly carried out.
Yes, I am clearing, and it's saying, I'm clearing you of your marital obligation. You're free to go. You're not an adulteress. And see, the divorce is not a sin. It's a way out.
And it's what caused the divorce that's a sin.
Yes.
And we're going to teach that.
Yes, we're going to be teaching on the causes of divorce. Right, that's what God
other
hates.
Other messages here.
Yes, God hates the cause of divorce, the sin that caused that breakup.
I just want to list a few of those. Hard-heartedness, unforgiveness, rebellion, anger, jealousy. Those are the causes of the divorce. And God hates those, by the way.
Pride, yes. Yes, guilt, even guilt from previous things carry over into a marriage and just totally spoil the marriage. We're going to be discussing
and
that.
And some people hang on to fear, and fear is a sin.
Yes.
And that causes many divorces.
That's right. So certificate of divorce number 3748 is one you need to remember. And also the other word that is really important, and that's sent away. That's number 7971. That's sent away without a certificate of divorce. That's shalach. And it's putting or sending out without a writ of divorce. And we're going to find out in Malachi 2:16 as we study this today, Darren, that divorce is not mentioned in Malachi 2:16. 3748 is not even mentioned in Malachi 2:16, but 7971 is mentioned.
Okay, now instead of giving the numbers, talk about what's not mentioned, what should be mentioned.
Well, and
the accurate translation.
We'll get into it in a few minutes here. But
you're throwing out a lot of numbers here. You're going to have our people confused.
Malachi 2:16 in most translations says God hates divorce, which is 3748. He hates divorce.
That's an inaccurate
translation. 3748 is not found in Malachi 2:16. In the King James Version, it is correct. It says, God hates the man who sends away his wife to writ a divorce. That's number 7971. And that word is found in Malachi 2:16. He hates the man who sends away the wife without a divorce, a bill of innocence, a certificate of innocence. Yes.
Now, we're giving you these Greek reference numbers and Hebrew reference numbers. We'll give you both the Greek and the Hebrew, and this teaching is going to be primarily the Hebrew.
Yes.
So that you can look in your Strong's Concordance and see that we're not just blowing and going here. Mm-hmm. You can read it for yourself. It's in plain English, and you'll see what we're talking about mm-hmm. here. But God is saying, and the reason he is saying you need to give her a certificate of innocence or a certificate or a writ of divorce is that when she goes out of the house, she can remarry.
That's
if she doesn't have that certificate, then that has not been terminated. And God really is placing this termination in the hands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to recognize what we do with a piece of paper or what we don't do without the paper, let's say it that mm-hmm. way. And if she doesn't have that paper, then she is then going to be living in adultery in that second marriage.
That's right. Or she's dead meat. She's stoned by the city elders because they think that she's an adulteress. Because the only biblical reason for sending out a woman without a writ of divorce, if she is found in adultery, if she is living
with
other
defiled.
Men. That's right.
If she's broken the marriage union.
If she is immoral, then he can kick her out without a writ. But if she's just... if she's found no favor in his eyes or something for one reason or another, then God says, I want you to give her this law of
divorce. Well, what they're saying is you just made up some excuse to get rid of her.
Yes, that's right. And
but I also have had in some teaching that men were killing their wives.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, you know, just to get rid of them. Say, I want her out of here so I can pick up another wife here. Mm-hmm. And God is saying that just is not right. That's
right.
That's an abomination in my sight.
Well, by sending them out of the house and having the elders stone them, they are really murdering. And that's the other second half of Malachi 2:16 we're going to study, that he hates the man who covers his skirt with a crime that he committed, and he blamed it on her.
And you know, and I'm sure there were a lot of men that just held that over their wife's head.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
said,
yes.
Hey, you know how simple it is for me to throw you out of here.
Well,
and you'll be stoned if I do.
Remember, in the United States, we had the burning of innocent women as witches in Salem, Massachusetts. I mean, people went crazy. They went wild. And there were many women that were tortured and burned at the stake who were innocent. So up and through that 17th century, 18th century, we still had women that were looked down upon. So God doesn't want this. He wants equality. Well, we're going to study this word adultery also in the Old Testament. It's number 5003, and it's Naoth. And it's really literally means falling away, apostasy. Now, we're going to study adultery is a sin. In the seventh commandment, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It does not say, thou shalt not divorce. And I believe some people have really gotten adultery and divorce confused, Darren. And divorce is a law created by God. It's a bill of innocence, a certificate of innocence. Adultery is the act of immorality, of going after something that isn't yours, someone who isn't yours. And we've studied now that God has written the law of divorce in Deuteronomy 24. It is not of the devil. It is not a sin. Divorce is allowed by God, and so is remarriage. And some of you are going, now, it's okay to divorce, but you can never remarry. Well, here we go. We're gonna talk about remarriage here. And it's the same scripture in Deuteronomy 24. And it says, when she's departed out of his house and she has her certificate of divorce, she may go and be another man's wife. It really does say that. She may go and be another man's wife. She is not committing a sin.
Why don't you read it exactly what it says?
Okay. All right.
Now, I want you to listen to this, folks, and get your Bibles out. And I hope when you're listening to these messages that you won't just take Darren and Barbara's word for it. See, God is trying to give you a revelation. We're trying to stem the tide here of this epidemic, of this scourge against people that have been divorced.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, it's epidemic. And you know, in almost every church I've been in, half or a little more than half of the people have been through at least one divorce.
Oh, that's right. One night in class, we asked for hands, and probably two-thirds of the class had either had family through divorce or they themselves had been through it. We cannot continue to judge and reject those people.
And you know, we're handcuffing many of the gifted people. And,
oh, yes.
And it says God's gifting is without repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And that means there, even after sin, David, even after his sin, was still King David.
Yes.
He was still anointed by God.
That's right. One of our precious friends in class, he went to his pastor 2 or 3 months ago and said, you know, I would like to be in a position in your church. I'd love to be an elder or a deacon or at least study for that and train for that. And he says, I really am in the Helps ministry. And he says, I am divorced. And he says, can I hold an office? And he said, no. Absolutely not. But he can go on all kinds of work projects and he give his money readily and freely, but he can't. Darren, there's something wrong with that. Really, vitally wrong when a man is called of God and all of us are created with special gifting and we cannot use that gifting in a church because we've got a big D on our forehead. God wrote,
D.
Yes, God wrote this law of divorce to bring innocence and we have only brought guilt.
Well, you know, we're going to find out later on that Jesus spent, seems like two ministry scrapping with the Pharisees.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
They were after him.
That's right.
And he was saying, you know, you deny the word of God with your traditions.
Yes.
Your traditions make the word of God null and void.
Yes.
And that's happening today, Barbara.
Oh, it is.
And it's got to stop.
It has to. Yes. So that's what we're here for. Well, let's read Deuteronomy 24, 1 and 2 in completion. When a man hath taken a wife and she finds no favor in his eyes because he hath found some indecency or blemish in her nudity, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, number 3748, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. It's not a sin. And if the latter husband turns against her and writes her a certificate of divorce, now this is second marriage, and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away is not allowed to take her again to be his wife. Now this is a law of God, and this is abomination for God. And if we come against God's laws, Darren, it defiles the whole land around us. It really does.
Well, let's put it in modern terminology. I believe he's saying that's going to defile your ability to make money.
Mm.
Here they were agrarian, they were farmers,
mm-hmm.
or they were... we would say they're ranchers. They had stock.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed the land not to be defiled. They needed good crops. They needed the rain to fall on the land. And one of the judgments of God was to withhold rain.
Yes, it was.
Now, so he said, don't defile the land by your behavior. Today, I believe, in many cases, we've defiled our abilities to make money, our professions and our jobs and our employment. And we need to stop and say, God, there must be sin someplace here. Because you're the God in the covenant that wants to bless the work of my hands.
Well, yes, and that first husband has already, in fact, made a pact or an oath. Those were very important to God. He said, I don't like her. Then to take her back would be a sin on his behalf. It really would defile the land to say, oh, I'll take her back. Well, why did you give her away in the first place, man? You know, God does not like double-mindedness at all. And there was an opportunity to do this. God says, don't take her back. This is an abomination before me. Because you've already made a vow against her.
Well, he's
her.
Saying this is not a revolving door. Here.
That's right. And so this husband then, and I'm just going to put in verse 5 just for a thinker to
you
make.
Know, what
to
he's
make
really
you
saying
think.
Is here, you need to respect marriage. You need to
yes.
respect the writ of divorce.
Yes.
And you need to do, if you're going to remarry, you got to do it according to these ways.
Absolutely. That's a God of justice.
God of order.
A God of order. Absolutely. So then this. This former husband who sent her away is not allowed to take her again to be his wife. And then it says in verse 5, now when this man or when a man takes a new wife, it's not the first wife, it's a new wife, he shall not go out with the army. Now some of you have believed that this is a first-time marriage, but it is altogether in these verses on the law of divorce. And I truly believe that God has made provision that when a man gives away, puts away or sends away a wife with a writ of divorce, then he is also free to remarry. And so he can marry a new wife. Look it up. Study it for yourself. It's so interesting. Darren and I have been doing it for 2 or 3 years here, and we find it really interesting. Now, this concept of new wife is kadash, and it's rebuilding. It's bringing a new person into a new relationship, a new spouse. It's not the former wife. It's a new wife. We want you to read that.
Now some of you are just about to go in shock if you're listening to this message. But, you know, we have not interpreted this right. In the church, by
yes,
and large.
That's right.
And we have taken the easy way out as pastors and Bible teachers. We said, oh, divorce is horrible. Yes, there are many horrible consequences of divorce. But let me tell you what the horrible consequences come from, and that's the causes. Mm-hmm. The unforgiveness, the bitterness, the hate, mm-hmm. the malice, these things, the screaming, the fighting, the lack of agreement, the lack of submission, all of these things, and basically it's that people don't know the word and they're not applying the word to their lives. So guess what? The family falls apart.
That's right.
We have focused on the divorce rather than on the cause of divorce.
That's right.
And let me say it this way. I prayed for a lot of people. I can't focus on the skin rash. I've got to look at what caused it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It might be food. It might be worry. It might be something else. We've got to focus on what caused this breakup of this home.
Mm-hmm. And not on the divorce.
And,
that's absolutely right.
And the church has really bought into the legal aspects of our land of saying, well, they got divorced. I believe they got divorced when the man or the woman put the spouse out of their heart.
And that's right. And Dr. Zodiati says the church has put too much importance on that piece of paper we get from the state.
From the courthouse.
Yes, from the courthouse, yes.
Now, you see, here we're saying when the man puts the woman out the door,
mm-hmm.
he must give her a certificate of innocence.
And that was God's.
That was God's
way of doing
God's
it,
way
yes.
of, not just God's idea compared to man's mm-hmm. idea. We need to do it God's way. I believe in a New Testament sense that when a man puts the wife out of his heart, he has basically put her out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
He has basically divorced her.
Yes. Now, we're just going to...
Or I should say, excuse me, Barb, spiritually divorced
spiritually
her.
Spiritually divorced
which
her.
Is, yes. Which is, marriage is spiritual, folks.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. It's when two and spirits come together.
Divorce is, by the way, spiritual.
That's right. Okay, now we're going to just jump over in the New Testament just for a brief moment because we're going to see here that remarriage is allowed in the New Testament too. And in 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 28, we read about marriage. And Paul is saying to you who are married, listen up. And right in between this, in verse 15, it says, if the unbelieving one leaves, let him or her leave. The brother or sister, and in this case, husband or wife, is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Now, I looked up not under bondage, and it means you are free from any oath you took. Now, Darren, doesn't this include marriage vow? I truly believe it does. When the unbeliever says, I'm out of here, I don't want any part of you anymore, that husband or wife that he leaves in the house,
or
she leaves in the house, is free to get the divorce and remarry.
According to the laws of the land.
That's right.
But there's already been a divorce spiritually, I believe.
Spiritually, yes.
You know, when one is left. And you know, we see this hardening of the heart, a husband toward a wife or a wife toward a husband. We see that all the time. It's rampant. Mm-hmm. Now, some churches say, we just got to keep Baal, use the names Bob and Susie. We just got to at all costs keep Bob and Susie together. Mm-hmm. When they're already spiritually divorced, mm-hmm. what are we doing?
We're allowing them to commit adultery, basically.
They're going to live in adultery.
That's right.
Because he's saying, I don't love her, and she's saying, I don't love him, and I want out of here, but a fear of rejection at the church or my family or whatever, I'm going to stay in here, mm-hmm. or at least tell the kids leave home.
Yes.
Hey, that's a mess. And the devil loves that because there's no agreement. There's no power against the kingdom of darkness where there's that kind of disagreement in a home called a Christian home.
That's right.
Come on.
And it says here in 1 Corinthians 7, God has called us to peace. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. He wants that more than anything else. If there's strife and division, God is against that. Now, also in 1 Corinthians 7, down into the 27th and 28th verse, let's read that. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Find a way in which to live in an amiable fashion. You know, don't just seek to go to the divorce courts. Are you released from a wife? Now, that word released is to loose something that's been bound. So are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Released means, are you divorced from a wife? I truly believe that's what it means. Are you divorced from this woman? Have you loosed something that's been bound? That's number 3089 in the Strong's. Do not seek a wife. Here's the catch word, Darren. But if you should marry, it says don't seek a wife. You know, don't make that your first priority after you've divorced. Don't go out running around. I've seen, and we've had people on the air, Darren, that they just barely get a divorce. I got to get married. I got to find a woman. I got to find a man.
Yeah, it becomes their main focus, their obsession. Let's say it that
yes.
way. And God has... If you're to be remarried, God has that person for you.
Well, and you've got to get healed. You've got to be in preparation in your spirit. I mean, if you made one mistake, hey, come on. God wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to be in love. So take some time. That's what this verse is saying. Do not immediately seek a wife or a husband. But the next verse, 28, says, but if you should marry, what does that say? Get your Bible. Read it. It says, you have not sinned. And write that in big capital letters. You have not sinned if you remarry.
Well, I think we go on here and we have to take it in context. Don't just take one verse out of the Bible and
right.
build a whole theology on
it.
And it says, and if a virgin should marry, she has not sinned.
Yeah. Well, Paul wanted us all to be single. He desired for you to be single, Darren, and me to be single so we could devote our whole life to the Lord. But he says, hey, if you're burning in your flesh, if you're really wanting a person, hey, get married. And he's even saying of the young virgin maiden, he says, man, if you need to get married and have a husband, have children, you go right ahead.
But it says you've not sinned.
That's right.
Right.
But he also said, there you will have trouble. And I'm trying to spare you. See, this was Paul. He was a man who totally devoted to God. He says,
well,
I can.
Well, he's totally devoted to ministry.
That's
let's say
right.
it that way.
And he said, I can see there's trouble in marriages. Marriages are a lot of work, Darren. I mean, it's a continual working on things. And so Paul is saying, I'm wanting to spare you from all this fleshly trouble. But if you decide you want a husband or wife,
you,
want to
get
you
married,
go ahead.
Help yourself.
That's right.
Well, praise God. You know, I hope that this message is coming through to you as a message of love and a message of understanding. And in the Old Testament, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And in many churches, we have poured it on the persons that have gotten divorced and they've split up a marriage, and we just poured it on them. But you know, in many churches, the church has divorced the people.
Yes.
They've thrown them out. They've shredded
right.
them. They've handcuffed them. They've put them out. And they've done, in a corporate sense, what they're saying to the people not to do in an individual sense
mm-hmm.
or in that marriage situation. So We want to say to you folks, we hope that these messages are giving you another reason to sit down and reevaluate, relook at this thing from the Bible perspective.
Yes, that's right.
Not from the traditions of men.
Yes. We're going to find out here in this next half hour that God married Israel. God actually was a husband, Darren. In the Old Testament, he married Israel. And you know what else? He not only married Israel, but he divorced Israel. He gave her a divorce. Israel didn't give him a divorce. And I've heard some people say, well, yeah, Israel divorced him. No, God the Father who created us divorced Israel.
Right.
It'll be really exciting.
Well, advance your tape to the end of this side and turn it over, and we're going to go after it to the continuation of this message. It's going to be good stuff, so let's go for it.